I woke up out of that vision. I heard, bing!
Welcome to the Purpose of Your Life podcast. This podcast is part of the My Path to Sikhi series. And in this episode, we have special guest, Payakal Singh, from Sacramento, California, who is the head of the Sacramento Gatka team. For more educational material, visit www.mysimran.info.
Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa.
Waheguru
Ji Ki Fateh. Guru Pyare Satsangat Ji, I'm here with Payakal Singh. He is Gurmukh Pyareo from California. And we were talking about his life a little bit. And obviously this is a podcast, so you can't see him. But he comes from African-American descent. And he was telling me a little bit about his family history. So, and I thought, Kal Singh, I go, this story is too good. I think the whole Sangat should hear it. So Kal Singh, tell me a little bit about where you're born and raised and kind of the family you grew up in.
Born and raised in California, Sacramento, California. And I come from, like I say, a revolutionary family. Freedom fighters.
So just give me an idea, because a lot of people, they tend to be ignorant about history. So when you say revolutionary family, you're talking about people, you know, in the 1960s, there was a different type of people, right? A lot of blacks who came either through the civil rights movement, realized maybe there wasn't a peaceable alternative. They still felt, although there were some great strides made by someone like Martin Luther King, the reality is that a lot of people felt they needed to pick up arms in order to equalize the battle. And so in California, Ronald Reagan, just to set the stage, right? Ronald Reagan was president, and there was an open carry law in California, which means that anyone could carry a gun in any public place. So folks in various groups, such as Black Panthers and other revolutionary groups, they basically decided to use the Constitution and the laws of the land in order to go ahead and defend their constitutional rights. But as in any unjust society, the Constitution seems only apply to white people, and it didn't apply to people of color or people who were discriminated against. And the moment they started carrying guns, that was the moment when it all of a sudden became unsafe. So that's the kind of context that you grew up in, correct?
Exactly. My family is the Sacramento chapter of Black Panther. On my mother's side, and on my...
And just for those who know, Black Panther is not a comic book. When we're talking about Black Panther, we're talking about people who fought for the rights of African Americans in an armed struggle in order to protect and preserve the rights of their people who were being killed by government officials.
Yes. So on my mother's side is the Sacramento chapter. And on my father's side is another chapter called The Move in Philly. So I come from two different revolutionary parties that were both being assaulted.
And what was like their, what was the kind of genesis of their consciousness for social change? Because a lot of people use the church as their movement. Why did they decide to use kind of an armed military platform rather than a religious movement?
Man, that's a good question. The Sikh have the Langar Kitchen, and this whole Revolutionary Party movement started with a lunch program.
So for, again, historically context, one of the things that people do in a government when they oppress people, they don't feed people properly. And if you don't get the right food, then your body isn't right, your mind isn't right. Yeah. So what African-American folks did during that time period was to start a revolutionary lunch program, which actually fed thousands and thousands of kids in the inner cities and started gardening programs and other things to make sure that people were getting the proper nutrition they needed. Sorry to interrupt again, but I just want to give context because sometimes our people are ignorant about
stuff. Spot on. So yeah, the lunch, most of the, well, I'm born in 1973. So most of the lunch programs that started that I had to eat at school and different things were actually started by my family members who fought and protested for children to be able to have a lunch in school. It wasn't something that was taking place until the Revolutionary Party created the lunch program. So a lot of people don't know that history is because of the Black Panthers protest to feed the children and start a lunch program is the reason why most people had lunches in their school or still have lunch in their school today.
So when you were a kid growing up, obviously there's a lot of social consciousness. Was there a lot of religion in your house too, or no?
No.
The atheists, or?
Everyone was too, they were too focused on the strategy. So it wasn't too much, it wasn't time for prayer at that time. Everyone was lock and load.
So like, what was the genesis of getting into Sikhi? So you're in high school. Did you search out like a religious path, or is it more just lock and load? You know, we got to fight for rights. I'm a child of the revolution. Or was it more or less, no, I also want to carve my own way, the way of a saint soldier, just not the way of a soldier?
I got a chance to carve my own way. And around my age of 27, I started having these visions of yogi fakirs, men from India. And so as I was having these visions, I was working in a drum shop, Sacramento downtown, J Street.
Like what kind of drum? Oil drum?
It was
percussion.
Percussion drums. We were putting the goat skins on and stringing up the drums there, djembes. And the man who owned the shop, his name was Muhammad. And so I was in his shop one day, and there was a big plate glass window and this sidewalk, everybody walking by. And so this Indian man walked by. And he had a black dastar on. He had a black briefcase. He was wearing a black leather jacket. And when he walked by the glass window, I'm inside the shop. He made eye contact with me that was so passionate. I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know. I was actually slightly in fear of what was taking place. But his presence was so real, and when he came in the shop, the owner Muhammad was like, he said, get out of my shop. And I said, wait a minute, Muhammad, he's trying to tell me something. So we made a little space in the drum shop, and this Indian man said, I want to talk to you, and I want to tell you some things. So we sat down. He took out some pictures. He laid the pictures down on this little table we made. And he said, who looks familiar to you on these pictures? His English wasn't too good, but he said, who looked familiar in this picture? And so instantly I saw on the picture, there was a man from my dream, my vision that I had been seeing previously on this picture. So already right there, my heart started beating. Because I knew whatever was taking place right now is completely real and beyond me. So he took the picture back. Then he laid down some more pictures where there were groups of men. And he said, who looks familiar in these pictures? I picked out the man again from a group. So he took back all the pictures now. Now he's looking at me, dead in my eyes. My heart is beating. My heart basically just hit the ground. As I'm trying to figure out, how is this man have the pictures of someone that I was dreaming about? So he took back the pictures. He said, I'm going to tell you everything about your life. I'm going to tell you how long you're going to live and everything. And I was like, oh my God, what are you talking about? So he tells me these things, right? At the end of our meeting, he said, stick out your hand. I stuck out my hand. And at this time, I didn't know what the seed was, but I found out later that it was a Rudraksha. It was a Rudraksha seed. Yeah. He put it in the center of my palm. He closed my hand and he said, go to the temple. I'm like, at this time, the only thing I knew that was a temple was maybe a Masonic temple. So I was like, I'm not going there. But Muhammad said, oh, there's a temple in West Sacramento.
Mm.
So I was hard-headed still at that time, and I didn't do what he told me to do at that time. So I actually waited like 4 to 5 years later. I know that sounds terrible, but what happened when I went to the West Sacramento Gurdwara is, as soon as I walked into the Darbar, the man that was in the picture, that was in my vision, was sitting there on the left side, on the men's side, on that bench. When you walk into the West Sacramento Gurdwara, he was sitting right there. And he patted the bench and he said, "Sit down." So at this point, my heart hits the ground again. I don't know what's going on. I felt so bad. I'm like, I hope he hasn't been sitting here for 4 or 5 years. So I sat down next to him. He had the, you know, you can tell like some the Indian fakirs that don't wear clothes, right?
Yeah.
So if a man puts on clothes who doesn't normally wear clothes, you can tell by his body structure that this man doesn't wear clothes. So he had a hoodie on and he had his hair in dreadlock. And he said, "You're in the right place." He said, "Stay here and keep love in your heart."
So you have this vision, you meet this man, you know you're in the right place. So what were the things that appealed? You didn't know anything about Sikhism.
Nothing.
So what were the things that appealed to you about Sikhism?
That I could arm myself and actually have a right.
So both a religious and a constitutional right.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because as Americans, and I always talk about it, you know, the best thing about being American, you get to choose your religion. But not only, now you felt you were spiritually armed, you weren't just armed by the law, you were armed with, by God.
This gave me a stronger force.
Almost like anointed to have a martial authority.
I definitely felt the power.
Yeah. And so what were some of the things that appealed to you? Was it also the message of Guru Granth Sahib, or was it just the martial part of things?
When I hear the Gurbani, I hear words that to me are in plain English, but it's being spoken in Gurbani. But at the whole time I was hearing the Gurbani, there was like an English that was coming out of it that was talking to me and letting me know that even though you can't understand what's being said, here's a little sprinkle of something as the Gurbani is being said. Here's another little sprinkle. And those words were actually piercing through. And I knew,
So, by the way, for those who, because people can't see, so, like, we dress in blue mana, you dress in blue mana, right? You took on kind of the traditional dress of what a Nahung would dress like, or a traditional Akali Sikh. What made you kind of then study the martial arts of Sikhi?
I'd always been interested in defense and protecting myself, being that I've been small for a long time, so I have a David and Goliath complex about myself. If anyone knows that story, David always beats Goliath.
And by the way, David is in the Bible. David is a child, essentially. And Goliath is a giant. And the story goes like this, is David is essentially able to beat a giant because David is just faster, more agile, smarter about things, right? So as a result, David becomes the first king of Israel and is anointed and builds the first temple of God according to the Bible. So just for those who don't know that story. So you have a David and Goliath complex, and you feel like Sikhi gives you something more than that. Because you're a few inches with the turban on.
Yes. So the warrior that was in me had guidance now.
Yeah. So I know you do seva. So how'd you get involved with Gatka Seva and everything else that you do?
Okay, so I had another dream or vision where I'm laying in my bed. And I actually woke up on a battlefield. I saw dust in the air. As I'm laying on the ground, I saw two men fighting over my body. They had kirpans. I could hear the metal hitting. I could see the dust. The only thing is I was laying on my back. So at this point, I'm questioning who was I at, on the battlefield that I'm laying down. Okay. I don't know where my position was on the battlefield, but I did witness two men fighting over my body with crampons, and I heard the metal hitting. And right before I woke up out of that vision, I heard bang. And I just woke up back in my bed. So I called my mother, and my mother is like, you know, when you hear the trumpet blow, God is trying to talk to you. And so I wasn't really trying to hear what she was saying.
But it's true. So just to back up for the Sangha, so as Akal Singh is talking about, I know some people will say, what's he talking about? Usually when we get these visions of our past life, it happens in Akash Thoth. As you all know, mind is made out of five thoughts, Pampani Basantartharthi Akash. Now, Akash Thoth is the last element. It's where everything is stored for the mind. So all our previous lives are there. Everything we can see, all our past lives there. For those who do Simran, they also know that sound that he heard is the sound of God's voice. In Christianity, they call it God's trumpet, right? And so that God blows a horn, the angels blow these horns, there it is. In Gurbani, we call it Vajja Anathure. So Gurmukh Pyareo, when he was able to see everything in Akash, then he was able to hear God's voice. And this is what we call Nam. Our job when we do Simran, when we overcome all our Furna, when we overcome our thoughts, is then to get to this Nam. Now, for those who don't know, like, you know, sometimes people have prejudice. They think only in our Sangath can people go ahead and hear Nam or whatever. But Nam is also a product of your Pichlekaram too, meaning your previous karma. That's why Gurmani, it gives the answer. It says, what if it's not in my karma to get to the Nam? Then it says, go to your guru and they will teach you how to save more swas than you spend in order to get to that Nam. Now, Gurmukh Pyareo and I, Akal Singh, we just met each other. And so we were talking. And so now he heard the Shabad. When he heard the Shabad, that's the sound of Waheguru's Vaz. But he did not merge in the Shabad yet. And part of our job as Gursikhs is to learn how to merge in that Shabad. So as he said, he goes, my mom, look, his mom's not even sick. His mom knows what God's voice sounds like.
So to finish the story, I ended up going to my first Nagar Kirtan. Jaspreet Lovelo, the Gutka master of Stockton, he pulled out this horn, and when he blew it...
That's called Thur, by the way, for everybody. It sounds exactly the same.
It was the same note, the same pitch. It was exactly what I heard, and I started crying at the Nagar Kirtan, and everyone's trying to figure out, why is he crying? Why is he crying? So Jaspreet, I got a chance to talk to him. I told him that is the horn that woke me up out of my dream. And so he just took me under his wing and he said, you just come with me. I'm going to teach you everything. So as of 2 years ago, he put me in charge of Sacramento Gutka to make a team in Sacramento. It's the only city that doesn't actually have a team, a Gutka team or a Yud. So I'm working on that right now, and I'd like to give a thanks to Hardeep Singh, who allowed me to work with the students and the Sangat at Jackson Rogadwar, and so now we're working on a team for Sacramento.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing your story, Gurmukh Pyareo.
Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh.